Hello and welcome to the Catalyst Podcast. My name is Ken Vallady, partner and co-founder at Progressive, and this is a podcast series about the power of startup corporate partnerships and how, if carefully managed, they can become a true catalyst for change for the future. Every episode, I will interview either a startup founder or an industry leader who have experienced the benefits of these partnerships firsthand and are willing to discuss and share their key learnings and insights. This week, I'm really pleased to be speaking to Baz Deans, who is the VP for UK and Europe at Schuster. Baz, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ken. Very excited to be on it.
No problem at all. So, Baz, if you can just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do at Schuster.
Yeah, so Ken, I've grown up in a storytelling through technology background, and I guess that's what led me to Schuster. So essentially, Schuster is a video technology business with its heart focused on simplifying and scaling video. And we do that by providing custom camera kits and all training and nurturing and resources clients need to create their own digital content, predominantly around video. And then we do all the post-production and turn it around in 24 hours.
Wow. And I know we've known each other for some time, and I can definitely relate to why what you offer is perfect for some companies. So on that note, what kind of companies so far have you worked with Schuster? What kind of relationships are you building?
Yeah, great question, Ken. So we work with a predominantly blue chip or FTSE sort of 500 based clients. So we work with clients such as Estee Lauder companies, Qantas, Pizza Express here in the UK, and then Oracle and a number of other very large organizations throughout the world. And a number of them have relationships with a lot of our different regions.
So there's some big names there, Baz. You know, how developed are these relationships? How long have they been going in some cases?
So Ken, our partnerships in many cases have been going for 4 to 5 years now, since the business began back in Sydney. And so our relationships build and grow predominantly throughout organizations. It doesn't have one specific use case. We work with a huge number of different facets of an organization, from sales through to HR, through to L&D and marketing.
So what we're looking at here then, Baz, is you're working with some really big brands, and you've been working with those brands in some cases for 4 to 5 years. So without putting you on the spot too much, you know, go straight to the question. What's the secret behind that success? I mean, there'd be startups out there thinking, I wish I could work for some of those brands, and I'd love to work with them over a longer period of time rather than just one trial piece of work. So what's the secret? How have you managed to build these relationships for long periods of time with some such big brands?
Yeah, so we build very long-term relationships because essentially we treat our relationships with corporates as a partnership from day dot. We've got an incredibly transparent model. We open up our pricing to our clients. They understand how we work from the very genesis of the relationship. And so how do we build that? I guess because we create huge consistency and continuity across their content, across all sorts of different forms of communications, they want to use us more and more because they see the need to create that kind of simplicity of video content, but also scalability of video content to make it a lot easier for them to turn it around very quickly.
So what I'm hearing there, Baz, is that, you know, transparency is really important, being very transparent and open at the start. And also by the nature of your product, once a client uses one facet of your offering, it's a very easy transition for them to use another one and another one. And before you know it, you are an ongoing provider of a service to them. Are there any soft skills on top of that? So you've got a great product, you're very open with that product in terms of pricing. And knowing you as I do, what kind of soft skills do you bring into play as well?
So I guess the greatest soft skill that we impart to our clients is essentially we empower them to take ownership of the narrative. They are taught how to tell stories more effectively. And then ultimately that means that they can be closer to that story from pre-production through to production and then through into the post-production relationship that we have with them. And so that ultimately at the end of the day means that they're given new skills, they're shown new opportunities to develop themselves, and we can do that with hundreds if not thousands of people within an organization. And so that's really quite empowering.
So it's that kind of empowerment that comes into play there. So once they get that empowerment, and for want of a better word, that control, they really grasp what they've got and they take it forward themselves. Where have you seen it not quite work? I mean, have there been occasions where, yes, you've got a very transparent offering, it's a product that a client really wants, but for whatever reason, it's not quite worked? I mean, I'm sure you've had a few of those without being devil's advocate too much. Where have there been times where it's just not worked, and what have you learned from that?
I think we've learned in the last 6 months where some of the gaps were in our model and our product. And I think it's very clear that in a time of need and crisis, a lot of our clients couldn't necessarily shoot video content by themselves at home, whether they were fighting fires or whether they just couldn't necessarily keep up with the pre-production. So what we did is we pivoted very quickly to allow our clients to have access to 2D typography and animators. We took control of creating some of that content from our side and actually being proactive with briefs for our clients to, I guess, support them in that journey. So I think that's probably the best example of a gap that we identified in our model, and it actually helped grow and solidify our product within the market.
So I'm intrigued, Baz. I mean, I really understand why you needed to pivot and the benefit that adds to some clients who don't want to take complete control. But a question I have on the top of my mind is, do you get any kind of cultural pushback generally? Because you are going to a client now saying, what we offer, you generally pass over to someone else to do generally, and now you can do it yourself. And even though that sounds very pragmatic and beneficial, do you get a bit of pushback generally with the you can do this approach to a client?
We do still get pushback, Ken, yes. We have a lot of clients that have had ingrained relationships with agency for a very long time. And I believe that there's a need for transparency behind that curtain for people to recognize and understand that actually creating content themselves or working with us as a sort of in-house extension to their team is actually the easiest way for them to open up to scaling their video or digital communications. And so ultimately, yeah, we have pushback initially, but once they draw the curtain back, they recognize that it's actually creating far more effective video content.
So staying on the corporate side, Baz, you know, with all your learnings and experience to date, what kind of best practices have you seen some of your corporate partners adopting? You know, techniques that, or mindset approaches that have really helped your relationship flourish?
Sure. So Ken, we work a lot with internal teams, and what we're seeing with learning and development, with HR for internal communications, is actually that bottom-up mentorship. So seeing a lot more opportunities for people on the ground to actually feed back and give insights to C-level or mid-level management. I think it's one of the most powerful best practices that we've seen recently, that sort of transparent and empathetic leadership as one of the greatest changes in terms of solidifying this partnership that we have with our corporates. That's one very large contributing factor. I think other areas of interest are, I guess, allowing learning and development and internal comms to have a seat at the table strategically. That's something that has really been quite dramatic, the shift in the last 5 years from what we've seen. I think people are recognizing the power of learning, the power of training, and actually, you know, allowing people within to share their insights more effectively.
So taking that into account, Baz, for startups listening to this podcast, you know, have you got any kind of tips for them when they go into, be it a different service they're offering, but when they go in and talk to some of these large clients, any kind of snippets of advice that you can give them to, you know, hopefully improve their chances of getting that deal? You know, taking into account big companies, cultural change, et cetera, which you covered. Any kind of snippets of advice that you would give to a startup who's starting that journey?
Yes, I think the greatest advice I can give when you're moving into that mindset of a startup or a scale-up walking into a very large corporate is that be confident in what you've got. Be confident in the fact that corporates respect startups and scale-ups a huge amount more than they did maybe 10 years ago. They want your knowledge. They want to learn from you as much as you want to learn from them. So I think the greatest advice I could give is trust your process. Trust what you're believing in and you're passionate about. And I think that'll shine through in the way you pitch and the way you discuss, you know, opportunities with corporates.
That's very interesting, because I find from my own experience that, and this was touched upon in the previous episode, that startups now, to me, seem a lot more comfortable with what they're offering and much more confident when it comes to talking to corporates. And I'm not saying that's verging on arrogance, far from it, but there's a lot more confidence in believing in the value they can offer. And I think that surprises corporates sometimes. I still think some corporates, when they first meet some startups, they're surprised by how competent and confident and equipped in a way that startups are when it comes to pitching their product. It feels like it's a bit more of a level playing field than maybe they perceived it would be from a corporate side. I don't know if you agree with that.
I couldn't agree more, Ken. I think for me, the passion and intensity that you bring to the table really shines through and builds confidence and trust in a corporate. And I think that there's a huge amount of respect shared between corporates and startups in that space. And we all need to remember that every day that we work with corporates, is that they're we're all just, obviously cliche in terms of we're all humans at the end of the day, but at the same time, there's no need to feel subservient. There's no need to feel like you're on a different playing field. You're all in the same space. You're all just trying to grow and learn together.
And I think if I remember correctly, Johnny from SoPost, who has been a previous guest on the show, he said that when you work for large companies, sometimes you get a bit taken in by the size of the brand and the size of the company. But at the end of the day, whatever you're doing and whoever you're working with, you're still working with one or two people. So in effect, you're working obviously with humans, but you're working with a small team. So it could be a huge conglomerate that they're part of. But at the end of the day, success really comes down to how you work with one to two to three people. So they may as well be, from your day-to-day interaction with them, think of them as a small team that you're working with from potentially a small company in a funny way, rather than having the brand of their company hanging over the whole process.
Yeah, I think for me, Ken, I see a lot of corporates starting to recognize, of course, agile methodology more often and splitting out their teams and facets of their business into, you know, small organizational units. And therefore, those people are now empowered to take control and autonomy of their remit and start to think about ideas differently and the way that they brainstorm and the way that they work with suppliers / partners. It's a completely different world, a completely different ecosystem of working. And I think I see that every day. And I think people, ultimately at the end of the day, they want to, I guess, share their ideas. They want to explore new opportunities. They want to actually try and build new skill sets. And that's the most powerful thing.
Coming to the whole focus of the podcast around, you know, catalyst for change, taking all that into account, Baz, you know, what one relationship would you say you've got with a corporate that you feel you've really played your part in developing a true catalyst for change? So where you've worked with someone and it just works. It might not have worked straight at the start. It may have done, but over time, it's really got into a really successful partnership with trust and transparency and everything, where, and it's really made a huge difference to both sides. Have you got an example of that for the listeners?
Yeah, I think what sums that up the best is our relationship with Estee Lauder Companies. So we work with about 15 different brands underneath their umbrella right now, and that relationship's been going for 3.5 years. And essentially, we started off in Asia working with their team and Clinique and Tom Ford, and then it grew like an amoeba throughout the world. And now we work with 7 different brands here in Europe. We've trained over 1,400 of their staff to tell stories more effectively through digital content. And the way we look at it is like a gym membership. We essentially start off slow, help them build muscle, and then ultimately at the end of the day, they start to build up a cadence with us in a far more sort of strong and deep relationship where they start to see different opportunities to create content throughout many different arms of their business, including learning and development, internal communications, marketing and sales.
So Baz, taking that into account and all your other relationships with corporates, has anything surprised you about working with large companies? I mean, you've worked with a few now. Anything that's really surprised you and make you think, oh, I didn't see that coming or that wasn't expected?
Yeah, I think what surprised me most about corporates is sometimes how siloed they can be. I think it's surprising how huge number of different business units throughout an organization within the same building may not be talking to each other that closely and intimately. And I think for me, I'm a very gregarious person. I love connecting with people and I guess networking all the time. And to see that really, really blew me away, that it can be so siloed.
Oh, siloing. Now, I can definitely relate to that from a previous corporate life. Did this discovery then, Baz, do you sometimes find you have to change your approach? You know, do you get early warning signs now if you see this kind of detachment happening? Are there things you can do to help kind of connect people more or help them get the message through internally?
Yes. I think for me, there's a combination of a few things. There's my own personal sort of approach to it, which is tenacity. I don't really give up when I see a silo. I'm quite keen to try and sort of help break it down. I think that's sometimes a bit lofty and it might not always work, but I think for me, primarily, I guess we're trying to add value across a large number of different facets of an organization. And so at the end of the day, connecting those people up more effectively at the start of the process, whether it's a sales conversation or a partnership conversation, is critical. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, trying to make sure that each of them understand that, and breaking that silo down is critical to their organization and their own success personally.
And that's quite a delicate subject, I would imagine, to tackle.
It's an incredibly delicate subject, yes, Ken. We sometimes need to learn and understand when to walk away from those kind of conversations. You can't push that too hard. But at the same time, if we look at it from a learning and development angle and perspective, which is often where we're focused, at the end of the day, if people recognize and understand the positives and the strengths of another team and how that can actually ultimately benefit both their business unit and themselves, I think no one can lose in that situation.
Okay, fully understand that. And I think actually that could be a whole separate subject on a podcast about how you work with large corporates and help them move away from siloing. But moving on, before we go on to the listener question section of the podcast, I have one final question for you. And this is a question I ask all my guests. For our corporate listeners out there, Baz, what would you say to finish are the key benefits of working in partnership with a startup company? What are the main benefits a corporate would get when they start to engage with a startup like yourself?
So from my experience working across Marcom startup scenes in New Zealand, Australia and UK with large corporates, there are three really critical benefits. One is agility of thinking. Two is new methodologies of working and building in new operating systems within organizations. And thirdly, I think for me, is the openness and the transparency and vulnerability that startups bring to the table.
Welcome to the part of the show where we look to answer a question from one of our listeners. And this week we have a question from Philippe, who is a founder based in Paris. And Philippe's question is, after you have met and pitched to a brand, how is it best to follow up post the event without appearing too desperate or spam-like? And Baz, before I pass this one over to you, this is a massive question and a really, really good question, and one that I'm actually keen to ask our corporate guests in the future. But what's your view on that? So you go in, as I can imagine, you do a really good pitch, first meeting with a client, you come away, everyone feels good, and then 2 or 3 days go by. How do you reconnect, or when do you reconnect? What kind of approach do you use at Shootster?
Hey, Philippe, fantastic question. For me, there's two things. Firstly, you're there to understand their needs deeply. And so your analysis of that need and how your organization can meet their needs through your USPs is critical. And how we'd follow up is very, very quickly shooting a personalized video and then embedding a number of parts of your product and features and USPs within that video and get it back to them within 48 hours. Because I don't believe that's needy. I think it's important to follow up succinctly and quickly.
Excellent. And in a way, I wouldn't expect any different answer taking into account the service you offer. But that's a really clever and creative way of getting back to a client quickly, but in a way that cuts through the noise.
That's right, Ken. And it allows organizations to absorb the information more effectively because it's more of an emotional cue through video, but also they can share that video with all of their colleagues. And that's one of the most powerful ways to spread your message throughout an organization, especially a corporate.
Great stuff. That's a really creative answer to a very common problem. So really appreciate that, Baz. And Philippe, I hope that helps you. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, please email me at ken@thisisprogressive.com. And each episode, we will look to pick 1 to 2 questions to discuss with our chosen guest. So Baz, I really enjoyed our conversation today. I mean, some points that came across to me very clearly were, from a startup point of view, there's some really key best practice in terms of being very transparent with clients when you go to see them, where possible, kind of giving them that opportunity of empowerment. You know, they own what you're providing. They should own it and take it forward. And I'd imagine that then leads to them being advocates of your service as well, longer term within a business. And also having that, in a way, bravery to pivot. So you saw a situation where maybe that empowerment was too much for some, so you took some of it back, but in a way that was right for the client. And I also found it interesting that from a corporate perspective, this whole idea of transparency came up again. The clients that seem to work best with you are the ones that are very transparent themselves internally, and also ones that actually empower their own staff up and down the levels to actually take decisions and to be engaged with startups. So there's a lot of best practice there that applies to both sides. So Baz, I really appreciate your insight there and taking the time to share that with us. So just a big thank you again, Baz. I know you're really busy, but it's been great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you too, Ken. Really appreciate your time.
No problem at all. My pleasure. So if you want to contact Baz and find out more about Shootster, full social media details can now be found in the notes to this podcast. That's it for this episode. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to this series and please rate us and leave a review on your chosen podcast platform. All contributions are very much appreciated. Thank you.